Although my own investment portfolio is somewhat meager, that is to say non-existent, today's gospel is still a real eye-popper for me. I'm not sure what to make of that third servant. Was he really that lazy, or was he just too timid for his own good? One thing for sure is he certainly knew how to size people up. He was right on the money about his boss. He was a hard man. Still, it's only a parable, and as parables go, this one is not too difficult to figure out. First, God gives each of us different talents, and we're supposed to use them to help other people. Second, it's a sin to waste your talents. So far, so good. I doubt if anybody would disagree with that. And yet, if that's all there is to this parable, Jesus would never have told it. Every parable that Jesus told was meant to be an eye-popper. Every parable is meant to grab you by the shoulders, turn you upside down, and shake you into a new way of seeing the world. Our old way of seeing this parable would be to ask, what talents has God given me and how well am I using them? According to this old way of seeing things, that lazy lout of a servant was not so much an evil person as he was a schlepper, an underachiever, someone who failed to live up to his potential. But don't be fooled. There's more to it than that. In fact, if we understood the parable correctly, we'd see that overachievers run an even greater risk of misusing their talent. Some overachievers bury their talent under an avalanche of activity and good deeds. Where we go wrong in interpreting this parable is hearing the biblical word talent and interpreting it as aptitude. They are not the same thing. The servant who received 5 talents did not receive 5 different aptitudes, and the one who buried the single talent in the ground did not waste the 1 aptitude he had. When Jesus spoke of talents, he was referring to a sizable sum of money. In fact, the value of a talent was almost unimaginable. It is impossible to estimate how much it would be worth today, but for the sake of argument, let's say it'd be worth $1 million. If anything, it was probably worth more than that. That gives a whole different twist to this parable. Listen again to the first couple phrases. A man going on a journey summoned his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To the one he gave $5 million to invest. To another, $2 million, and to another, $1 million. What an extravagant employer. How many people do you know who would parcel out $8 million to their employees and then go away on a cruise? That new way of hearing the parable also tells us something about that lazy lout of a servant. It turns out that he's not just a schlepper, an underachiever. I mean, it's one thing not to develop your natural aptitudes. That's sad enough. But it's downright criminal to hide $1 million in a hole in the ground. The danger with confusing these 2 different meanings, talent meaning a vast sum and talent meaning aptitudes, is that it's too easy to make a list of our talents, to check it over, and then to ask how well we are using them. How often do we say things like, she sure has a head for numbers. Thank goodness she's on the finance committee. She's certainly not hiding her talent. Or, what a voice he has. I'm glad he sings in the choir. God is certainly getting a good return on his talent. That's not what this parable is talking about. This parable makes it clear that there is only 1 talent that God cares about, the talent to love. Make no mistake about it. Come judgment day, God will not ask you how you used your sharp head for numbers or your captivating voice for singing. The only question that God will ask you is how well you loved while you were on earth. In that respect, I don't think any of us should get too cocky. I doubt if any one of us loves as well as we could. On the other hand, neither should we be unnecessarily afraid like that servant in today's gospel. There's probably nobody here this morning who doesn't love somebody, at least. In the end, the question is not how much or how little we love, just as it was not important whether the servants made an extra 5 million or only 2 million. The only thing that matters is that we do not bury our love in some deep, inaccessible hole in our heart. For those who struggle to be good Christians, the Word of God is not meant to threaten or frighten. Rather, it is meant to challenge. This morning's gospel challenges us to love better. In that regard, I don't think we should start by asking ourselves, whom should I love that I do not already love? That simply leads us down the well-worn path toward guilt. Rather, our starting questions should be, whom do I love already? Do they know how much I love them? Or do I bury my love under an avalanche of things that I do for them? In the wedding ceremony, there's a prayer that says, love is our origin, love is our constant calling, love is our fulfillment in heaven. That's what it means to be a Christian. So forget about hiding your love for people in all the things that you do for them. For today at least, or maybe for this entire Thanksgiving week, try to find a way to tell them how much they mean to you. It sounds like a trivial thing, but as the parable teaches, if we are faithful in little things, then God will trust us with greater things. If we reverently use God's gift of love, then come judgment day, God will smile and say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come now and share the joy of your master."